waiting patiently from Lyon. Seamus Kearney, thank you for that. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine. Ata marie.
This awful attack in Moscow, an Islamic State group has claimed responsibility, but as with all things, it's now the subject of some debate and discussion. Just catch us up on the latest. I think there's a time of mourning today for those who lost their lives, Seamus.
That's right. A day of national mourning in Moscow. Lots of people turning up to lay flowers to pay their respects to those who lost their lives. But as you say, this claim from Islamic State, otherwise known as ISIL, ISIS, Daesh, coming today, this weekend, as Moscow's really trying to implicate Ukraine in this attack. Those claims fiercely denied by Kyiv. And actually, Islamic State releasing tonight videos and a photograph of these alleged gunmen in the Moscow concert hall attack, Crocus City Concert Hall. This is the deadliest Islamic State claimed attack on European soil. Also, Catherine, making it the deadliest attack in Russia since the Beslan school hostage crisis back in 2004. 334 people lost their lives in that crisis in North Ossetia, 186 children. So vivid memories of that. The death toll here now in Moscow, at least 137 people killed, dozens more wounded. The latest we're hearing there, more than 150 people wounded, at least a dozen victims in a critical condition. But as I say, Islamic State absolutely insisting that it was responsible for this massacre, perhaps because we've had these statements from President Putin seeming to implicate Ukraine without giving any evidence. In a speech on Saturday, a day after the attack, he spoke to the public and he said that Ukraine, that somebody in Ukraine had been preparing what he called a window of opportunity for the gunmen to cross the border from Russia into Ukraine. The videos released by Islamic State, they have a news agency called Amaq. They're actually showing the gunmen filming themselves as they hunted down the concert goers. Of course, President Putin also announced that 11 people are now in custody, including the four alleged gunmen. And we've seen videos tonight, Catherine, disturbing footage of those alleged gunmen captured, apparently tortured, the air cut off one of those men and then stuffed into his mouth, if we believe what we're seeing there on the video, and then also security forces beating another suspect with their rifle butts and kicking him as well.
All right. So it's The consequences from here, obviously, it's becoming part of the truth versus fiction debate surrounding a lot of things. But at the moment, is the credibility, absolute credibility behind Islamic State's claim, ISIS's claim?
Yes. And if you see the statements from intelligence agencies around the world, including from the U.S., saying that, Islamic State was solely responsible for this. Don't forget that President Putin had rubbished earlier warnings from Washington that Russia was under threat from Islamist militants. He said that was provocation. He said it was daydreaming. Absolutely rubbished those warnings. And, you know, this really is a massive failure. I think we can say that. It's a massive failure for Russian intelligence services, the FSB. Some commentators this weekend saying that Russia has been so focused on its war in Ukraine that it's taken its eyes off domestic threats. And they say that, this is something that President Putin is going to have to try to deal with. It did take him a day to come out with this speech where he talked about this link with Ukraine, this claim of this link with Ukraine, and the Ukrainian President Zelensky furious about that and saying that instead of dealing with his own people, instead of talking to his own people, keeping Russians safe, the Russian president is far too focused on his war, on his rampage in Ukraine, according to the Ukrainian president.
All right, Ireland's set to get its youngest ever prime minister.
Yes, and this was after the shock resignation of Leo Varadkar. That was absolutely surprising, even for his political allies. This is the former health minister. He's also currently the higher education minister, 37 years old, Simon Harris. And he, in fact, was the only candidate from the governing centre-right Fine Gael party to put his name forward when nominations closed today. So he's it. He's now the prime minister. He's likely to be sworn in as the prime minister when parliament meets again on April the 9th. But it's interesting because today at a party conference where they confirmed his leadership, the successful leadership bid there, he talked about his program. He says that he wants to get up on law and order. He wants to support farmers, revert to what he's calling core values. Making work pay was one of his slogans. But Catherine, it's interesting because he's so young, 37, the youngest ever in Ireland, and I've seen him today dubbed the TikTok Taoiseach. That's the Irish word for prime minister because of his heavy use of social media platforms. He was also the face of the Irish government's early response to the COVID pandemic. So he rose to fame there because of the action that he took. It's interesting because he's only going to have a year now at the helm of this ruling coalition in Ireland. So that's Fine Gael ruling in a coalition with fellow Conservatives, Fianna Fáil, also the Green Party. There had been some suggestions that we would have an early election this year. In fact, Sinn Féin, the left-wing party Sinn Féin, which is doing very well in the opinion polls, calling for an immediate election after the resignation of Leo Varadkar. But that's now seems to have been ruled out by Simon Harris. So all of those parties seemingly want to carry on for at least another year until the new elections. But really, a tough time for the government. They have a lot of issues to deal with in Ireland, a housing crisis, the cost of living crisis. Also, that resignation of Leo Varadkar came after the
What
government's
prompted
defeat.
it? Has he given reasons?
Yeah, well, actually, he said personal and political reasons. It just seemed that the wind was taken out of his sails. He's been around for a couple of years now. All eyes were on him to fix all of these issues. And a lot of people are saying the coalition just hadn't got its head around all of these issues. And I think really some are saying the nail in the coffin really was, as I say, this defeat in a recent referendum
Right.
backed by the coalition. And this was aimed at updating references to women and the family in the constitution. And that was seen as a real defeat, a real kick in the face
Okay.
for the coalition.
Thank you, Seamus. Now, there's been a green light for Bosnia and Herzegovina's EU membership bid.
Yes, 8 years after first applying, big celebrations in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The EU flag I see there flying in Sarajevo this weekend. The green light for the start of formal EU membership talks. So 8 years in the making. Of course, this country in the Western Balkans, told by the European Council President this weekend, Charles Michel, your place is in our European family. Last week, we had the European Commission giving its approval. They said that key targets on standards and values in the bloc had been met. And then there was a meeting of EU leaders led by Charles Michel. They gave their approval. Up until now, Catherine, actually, the only other country in the region to meet those targets was Croatia, of course, and they joined the bloc back in 2013. So, Bosnia and Herzegovina still a lot of work to do. So this is just the opening of formal talks. They applied for membership back in 2016, as I say, they were granted candidate status. They have been passing lots of laws trying to bring their legal administrative systems into line with EU standards, but a lot more reform to be carried out, they say.
Very good. Thanks very much for that, Seamus, and thanks for your patience this morning, this evening for you. Seamus Kearney, our Europe correspondent who is in Lyon.